Well, friends, we now go to Foreign Exchange Management Act in India. Especially, we have got to look at the Reserve Bank of India. And here, the topics which will be discussed, that is the topics which are covered, is first of all, we will look at the Act itself, Foreign Exchange Management Act, that is FEMA. Then we will look at the foreign exchange transaction, that is all forex transactions. And then we will look at the FEMA guidelines for exports, FEMA guidelines for imports, FEMA guidelines for service exports, and also FEMA guidelines for merchant trade. And added to that is now there's a new FEMA guideline for Vostro accounts. We are going to look at these topics. The Foreign Exchange Management Act, that is FEMA, came into existence in 1999. It is a regulatory mechanism that enables the Reserve Bank of India to pass regulations and the central government to pass rules relating to foreign exchange in tune with the foreign trade policy of India. The buying and selling of foreign currency and other debt instruments by business, individuals and government happens in the foreign exchange market. Apart from being very competitive, this market is also the largest and most liquid market in the world as well as in India. It is constantly undergoing changes and innovations, which can sometimes be beneficial to a country or expose the country to very high risks. The management of foreign exchange market becomes necessary in order to mitigate and avoid these kinds of risks. Central bank therefore work towards an orderly functioning of the transactions, which can also develop their foreign exchange market. The need for management of foreign exchange under control of FEMA is therefore very, very important. And it is very necessary to ensure that adequate amount of foreign exchange from import substitution to export promotion. FEMA has served to make transaction for external trade and easier transactions involving current account for external trade. Today, it is no longer required to have RBI specific permission. Banks who are authorized by RBI grant such transactions. Activities such as payments made to any person outside India or received from them along with deals in foreign exchange and foreign security is restricted. It is FEMA that gives the central government the power to impose these restrictions. Free transactions on current account is subject to reasonable restrictions that may be imposed from time to time. Of course, without general or specific permission of FEMA, restrict the transaction involving the foreign exchange or foreign security, as also payments from outside the country to India. The transactions should be made only through an authorized dealer. This is the restriction. You cannot have your foreign buyer bringing cash in his pocket, coming over here and giving you cash in foreign exchange and in turn you sell him the goods? No. The foreign exchange movement has got to be via the banking channel, including our own Indian currency. It is also a part of foreign currency for other countries. Deals in foreign exchange under the current account by an authorized person can be restricted by the central government based on public interest generally. As we understand, the central government will always put restrictions on public interest. All restrictions being placed, they are declared as for interest of the public. Although selling or drawing of foreign exchange is done through authorized person, that is authorized dealer in foreign exchange, RBI is empowered by this act to subject the capital account transactions to a number of restrictions. Residents of India will be permitted to carry out transactions in foreign exchange, foreign securities, or to own or hold immovable property abroad if the currency, security, or property was owned or acquired when he or she was living outside India, or when it was inherited by him or her from someone living outside India. This is one of the primary requisite for inheritance of foreign exchange, foreign currency, or foreign ownerships. FEMA has got a number of rules and regulations. I am not going to deal with each one of them specifically. Why? Because if you don't need them day in and day out. But these rules and regulations which I have listed out over here, I want you to read them. That's all. So that you know that at a future date, when you want to enter into a specific direction of import-export business, you would need one of these rules and regulations which you will have to follow. This is first slide. This is another slide listing out the rules and regulations. This is another slide listing out the rules and regulations. When we look at the currency management, especially Indian currency as also foreign currency, Reserve Bank derives its role from the Reserve Bank of India Act 1934. The government, that is the Indian government, on the advice of RBI, decides on various denominations of banknotes to be issued as far as Indian currency is concerned. RBI estimates the quantity of banknotes that are likely to be needed denomination wise and places indent with the various printing presses. The aim of Reserve Bank is to provide good quality notes to members of the public. Bank notes which are received back from circulation are again examined, and those which are fit for circulation are reissued, and others are destroyed. So that quality of banknotes and circulations are always maintained. RBI also exercises a system of capital controls in addition to active trading in currency market, foreign currency market. On the current account, there are no currency conversion restrictions hindering buying or selling of foreign exchange. There are no restrictions at all. Any importer, exporter who is having foreign exchange, or who wants foreign exchange, can buy or sell foreign exchange without any hindrance. On the capital account, foreign institutional investors have convertibility to bring money into and out of the country and buy securities. Local firms are able to take capital out of the country in order to expand globally. You want to have a branch office in any foreign country where you are getting large business. Yes, you can take capital from here and invest it over there. However, local households are restricted in their ability to diversify globally. Household individuals, if they need any foreign currency, they have got restrictions in the amount of currency which they can take from Reserve Bank of India banking channels. India is increasing day by day towards full convertibility because of the expansion of the current and capital accounts to such a vast stage as of now. Of course, there is a confusion going on as far as interchanging of currency with gold is concerned. As I explained to you in the past, there was a gold standard and conversion of currency or value of currency was related to the gold standard. And that is why today also there is always a confusion as far as interchanging the currency with gold or gold with currency. Let us clear it. The system that India follows as of now is that money cannot be exchanged for gold under any circumstances due to gold's lack of liquidity. Gold does not have a liquidity format now. It is treated as a commodity only. Money cannot be changed into gold by Reserve Bank of India also. And as far as this direction is concerned, India follows the same principle as Great Britain and United States are following even now. When we look at the Indian rupee, yes, I've explained to you before also, Indian rupee is the legal tender in India. It's also accepted as legal tender in the neighboring Nepal and Bhutan. Rupee was convertible on current account with some capital controls. And most important factor is Reserve Bank of India intervenes in the foreign exchange market. If there is very excess volatility in the movement of foreign currency exchange rates vis-a-vis Indian exchange rates. To curb this excessive volatility, Reserve Bank enters the picture. After transition to current account convertibility, value of the rupee is largely determined by the market forces. Normal condition, no. Government does not interfere, Reserve Bank does not interfere if there is a normal movement. Foreign exchange or forex. This is where we have got to look at having a very clear understanding, because this is the basic reason, basic aspect of all international trade transactions. Foreign exchange or forex is the conversion of one country's currency into that of another currency. In a free economy, a country's currency is actually valued according to factors of supply and demand. That is, currency's value, a particular country's currency value, can be pegged to another currency's value, such as the US dollar, or even to a basket of currencies like the euro. Or another form, country's currency value may also be fixed by the country's government. Yes, certain countries' governments are fixing, not India. In India, government is not fixing it. And most of the countries, they float their currencies freely against those of countries, which keeps them in content fluctuation. Value of any particular currency is determined by market forces based on trade, based on investment, based on tourism, etc., or any other form of movement of currency from one country to another country. It is basically conversion of one country's currency into that of another, and valued according to the factors of supply and demand of the international market. Sorry, this we have already completed, repeated. We have foreign exchange controls. The foreign company will have to make payment to the local company in their local currency when they buy goods. Seller will sell their goods to a buyer. Buyer will send. He has got his own country's currency, but he has got to pay the seller in the local currency of the seller's country. So, therefore, the foreign exchange takes place, and this exchange has got various types of controls. Another important factor of demand occurs when foreign company seeks to do business with a company in a specific country. It may also be desirable for an investor from one country to invest in another, and that investment would have to be made in the local currency as well. All these requirements produce a need for foreign exchange, and they are the main reasons why foreign exchange markets are so large. Foreign currencies are traded in this large market. Of course, the foreign exchange is handled globally between banks, and all transactions fall under the auspices of the Bank of International Settlements, as I have explained to you before also. Foreign exchange controls are various forms of controls imposed by a government on all types of foreign currency transactions. Common controls. Number one. All foreign trade transactions have to be routed through the banking channels only. Then there is banning the use of foreign currency within any particular country, the country itself. Banning locals of possessing foreign currency in their country. Restricting currency exchange to government approved exchanges and authorized dealers. That means any buying or selling of foreign currency has got to be done by government approved exchanges or authorized dealers in foreign exchange as registered by Reserve Bank of India. Restrictions on amount of currency that may be import or exported. Yes, currency as a whole, not products. But currency also is imported, exported, and there are restrictions placed on the amount of such currencies. The IMF agreement allows exchange controls for transitional economies. Transitional economies means the economies of developing countries, least developing countries, etc. Later, free trade and globalization started a trend towards economic liberalization. In India, of course, all foreign exchange transactions are controlled by Reserve Bank of India under FEMA 1999. And here, all importers, exporters have to open an account with a bank branch designated as an authorized dealer in foreign exchange category 1 bank by the Reserve Bank of India. And such banks should have a valid authorized dealer's code number, which is issued by Reserve Bank of India. AD code banks. And above all, importers and exporters have to transact all their foreign trade transactions through these accounts only. This is the most important factor for you to take note. You cannot do foreign exchange transactions through any other means other than this method. Let us look at some of the guidelines where FEMA, various rules and regulations are giving guidelines for imports, guidelines for exports, for services, merchanting trade, etc., etc. Let us now, because you are going into import-export business, or you may be already into foreign trade or international transactions. Therefore, to understand and follow these guidelines is a must for you. Of course, these guidelines are meant for the banks to follow, and they've got to ensure that you as constituents or clients of the bank follow it. AD category and banks may allow remittance for making payments for imports into India after ensuring that all requisite details are made available by the importer. And above all, the remittance in foreign exchange is for bona fide trade transaction as per applicable laws in force, that is the foreign trade policy of India. When such foreign exchange has been acquired and utilized for import of goods into India, such banks have got to ensure that importer furnishes evidence of import in the form of postal appraisal form or customs assessment certificate, etc. Of course, nowadays under Digital India, all these have been digitized and customs have got a direct link with all the banks via the AD code number. And therefore, such import documents are directly transferred online to the banks. But the banks have got to satisfy themselves that goods equivalent to the value of remittance have been imported and remittance against imports have been completed within 6 months. This basically means that if you have taken $1 lakh from your bank to remit to a foreign supplier for importing certain goods, then after custom clearance is completed, import is completed, you get delivery of your goods, the customs document has got to show that the quantity and value of the goods is equal to that $1 lakh which you have remitted to your supplier. Nothing less, nothing more. And that entire transaction is completed within 6 months. Of course, banks may also permit settlement of import dues delayed due to disputes or financial difficulties, etc. There are delayed payments also available. However, interest, if any, on such delayed payments is payable only for a period up to 3 years from the date of shipment. Deferred payment arrangements, including suppliers and buyers' credit, up to 5 years, are treated as trade credits, and banks can consider granting extension of time for settlement of import dues up to a period of 6 months at a time, and maximum period is 3 years, irrespective of the invoice value for delays on account of disputes about quantity, quality, or non-fulfillment of terms of contract. These are the factors on which excess time is normally granted by the bank. Guarantees to be given by an authorized dealer. An authorized dealer may also give guarantees for any debt or obligation or other liability incurred by a resident in India and owned to a person resident outside India as an importer. That means you want something on a long-term basis, and you have got to give a guarantee that it continues to supply over a period of time, you will be able to process your liability from time to time. And there may be a guarantee which you may be required to give to the foreign supplier, an authorized dealer or a bank can supply you with such a guarantee. Authorized dealer may also give guarantees or letter of undertaking or letter of comfort for any debt obligation or other liability incurred by a resident in India and owned to person resident outside India for import of goods. Authorized dealer may, in the ordinary course of his business, give a guarantee in favor of a non-resident service provider. Now, this is not local staying individual, non-resident. That means he is an Indian but staying in some foreign country. And such kind of service provider, bank may give a guarantee on behalf of a resident customer who is a service importer. An authorized dealer may also permit a resident in India to issue corporate guarantee in favor of an overseas leaser and for financing import through lease finance or operating lease. Advance remittance for import is allowed by RBI rules and guidelines. Banks may allow advance remittance for import of goods without any ceiling, but conditions attached. If the amount exceeds $2 lakh, an irrevocable standby LC or a guarantee from an international bank of repute should be taken from the supplier so that the supply is done within these limits and within the time limits fixed. If the bank is satisfied about the track record and bona fides of the importer, the requirement of bank guarantee, standby LC may not be insisted for advance remittance even up to $50 lakh. I mean, this facility is available to very large importers, especially those who are in the gem and jewelry market, where their transactions are very, very huge. And especially in case of import of rough diamonds, the bank can take a decision on overseas mining companies to whom an importer can make advance payments without any limit of bank guarantee or standby letter of credit. Unlimited guarantees can be given to mining companies for rough diamonds. Why rough diamonds? India is the biggest market for exporters and users of all forms of diamonds, especially in the form of polished diamonds and used in gems and jewelry, end product. And therefore, these rough diamonds are raw material required. Of course, you know that diamonds are very high valued. And therefore, such gem and jewelry exporters, they need to send out guarantees of very high values. So if they give such guarantees to mining companies of rough diamonds, there's no need for any other guarantees or any forms of guarantees. Next, we go to FEMA guidelines for exports. Now, mind you, I have shown you a list of rules and regulations. All these guidelines, whether import, export, etc., they are based on the rules and regulations which have already been brought out by the government and Reserve Bank of India. And these guidelines are based on those rules and regulations. And that is why you have to ensure that you follow it. Exporters, the primary headache, I should say headache for you, is that it becomes your responsibility to realize the foreign exchange and repatriate the same from the buyer all export proceeds as per FEMA regulations. If you say, what should I do? My exporter has not made the payment to me. No, it will not. It won't do. It's not acceptable under FEMA regulations. The moment you send out some goods from your country to another country, it becomes your liability. Of course, to help you in this liability, ECGC is created. But ultimately, you have got a liability. And amount representing the full export value of the goods exported shall be received through an authorized dealer bank in this manner. Either a bank draft or a pay order or a banker's or personal checks into your bank, AD code bank, or foreign currency notes, foreign currency traveler's checks from the buyer during his visit to India with proof that he has brought the foreign currency over here and he deposits the same in this AD code bank on your behalf for you. Or payment out of funds held in foreign currency non-resident account or non-resident export account maintained by the buyer. Or today, it is also allowed through international credit cards of the buyer. Mind you, not your international credit card. You will start thinking, okay, buyer is not paying, I'll use my international credit card and transfer that payment, my liability will be over. Sorry, not allowed. It has got to be international credit card of the buyer. Thank you.